This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
Lou Holtz joins us on Sports Byline. He's been with me many times here on Sports Byline, but this is the first time that I've been able to say, now a member of the College Football Hall of Fame, and congratulations on that honor, Lou.
Well, thank you, Ron. You know, when they first told me, and 1 in 5,000 people play or coach a game ever go into the Hall of Fame, and I'm going, wow. And then, you know, you ask yourself, well, how'd this happen? Then all of a sudden, reality sets in, and you think of the sacrifice your wife has made, your children made, the assistant coaches, the athletic directors, the players. You know, all those things happen, and that's how I end up getting the Hall of Fame. Not because I was intelligent or anything else, but I just was always around good people that made sacrifices on my behalf.
Lou, you also made some very good choices about opportunities career-wise, and you had great success. You won a national championship at Notre Dame, and matter of fact, you were a two-time coach of the year, and you're the only coach in NCAA history to lead 6 different programs to bowl games. That means that you made some good choices as to where you took over programs. What was the kind of thought process that you went through in deciding where you were going to coach?
Well, I took over 6 programs, never inherited a winner. So my philosophy was always been good jobs don't open up. You have to take a job and turn it into a good one. But it just what kind of attitude did the people have, the administration, about wanting to be successful? In other words, see, when you go into a program, Ron, it's not just what you do. You have to have the trainer, the strength coach, the SID. Everybody has to be focused on one thing. How do we graduate and how do we win? Nothing else is really relevant. Everything is, will this help us graduate athletes? Will it help us win? Then let's do it. And let's just stay focused on what we're doing. Too many times people are just, well, I'm the strength coach. No, you're not the strength coach. You're there to help them graduate and win. Nothing else is relevant. And you have to have the same core values. You know, you don't have to like one another. The players don't have to like one another. Same music, same food. They must share the same core values. And core values are anything you refuse to compromise on. Core values what holds a country together. Core values what holds a family together, business together, but core values really molds the great teams.
When you take a look at going into a program that has been a losing program, invariably what I hear from a coach that takes over any program like that is, I've got to turn the attitude around. What do they mean by that?
Well, it's just basically what their priorities are. Father Hesburgh said to me, when I went to Notre Dame, he said, I name you the head coach. I can't name you the leader. Titles come from above. Leaders come from below. And what makes a leader to me are basically 5 things. Number one, you must have a vision where you want to take the program. You got to be able to sell that vision to the players, to everybody associated. Number two, you have to have a plan how to get there. You can't say, oh, we want to get to a bowl game. You have to have a plan how you're going to do it. Number three, you lead by example. You cannot talk to people without setting the example. Number four, hold people accountable. People make choices, and choices have ramifications. And number five is good, sound fundamentals. And one of those fundamentals is the core values we have. And so when they talk about turning the attitude around, it's about the expectation. 6 losing situations, Ron, every time you go into a losing situation, it's a group of people that are tearing each other down. You only have 2 types of people in this world, I found. Those that lift up and those that tear down. The people that tear down are the ones that are insecure, aren't confident about the future, so they want to see other people fail so they won't look as bad by comparison. What we've tried to do is go into a situation and get the athletes to believe in themselves, and that's not done by just talking to them. It's by hard work, get them in the weight room, and sell them on the fact that they can be successful. You can succeed, Ron, when nobody believes in you. You have no chance to succeed if you don't believe in yourself. And pretty soon, with hard work and dedication, you have a plan, you have a vision, they see it's going to become a reality, then their confidence grows. And as their confidence grows, then they don't feel threatened by everybody. They'll start encouraging their teammates.
One of the things, as I take a look at the schools that you were at, Notre Dame, North Carolina State, Arkansas, Minnesota, and South Carolina, each one of those have a different dynamic, a different personality to them. But the one at Notre Dame is the one that jumps out at me because of the national nature of it and just the personality of Notre Dame. Were you in any way awed by Notre Dame, or were you intimidated by it at first when you went there, Lou?
No, I really wasn't. You felt an awesome responsibility because of the tradition, the history. But the program was down. The last game before I got there, Miami had beaten them 58-6 or something. But fortunately, I had been in coaching long enough and turned enough programs around that I had a vision, I have a plan, and I believed in that plan, Ron. And I wouldn't compromise on that plan. And even my first year, we went 5-6. By the end of the year, we were a pretty good football team. Our schedule was awful difficult, but we were playing very, very well. And so you didn't panic. You didn't say, gee, I don't think this plan's going to work here, et cetera. It's just that you have to understand the school, and each one has assets. The intelligence level of the student body and of the athletes in Notre Dame was one thing. But no, I really wasn't intimidated. I was worried about, are we going to be able to succeed to the expectations of other people? But you just go about and you try to build the program. And when I went to Notre Dame, I thought, boy, the players on the field are going to be different. But off the field, it'll be like everybody else. It was just the opposite. The players at Notre Dame on the field were no different than anybody else. You treat them like anybody else. It's off the field where they were different. I'm talking about their academic orientation, their focus academically, the type of family they came from. Most of them were two-parent families, you know, with a good discipline, and they had visions and they had desires of what they wanted to do in life. And so I found the Notre Dame players were different off the field, but weren't any different in Arkansas or other places I'd been on the field.
One of the things that you did at Notre Dame to create unanimity, put everybody together, was you had the names removed from the backs of the players' jerseys. You're thinking behind that, Lou, and did how long did it take to accomplish what you were trying to accomplish with that move?
Well, I felt this. It, when you have the name on the back of your jersey, and I got a lot of static from the media, and because they had trouble identifying the players without the names on the back. But I felt that the most important thing in selling them was we were there for Notre Dame. And to be able to play against Notre Dame would be a great motivating factor. And I said, I want to tell you, man, everybody we play against is going to be so excited to play against Notre Dame, they're going to be motivated. The only thing that should be more motivating to play against Notre Dame is to be able to play for Notre Dame. And we aren't going to have our names on the back of our jerseys because we have ND on the sleeve, and that says everything, and that's all we're about. In the very first team meeting I had, a player reminded me this just 3 days ago, that I walked in, I said, you're going to sit up, you're going to look at me, you put your feet on the floor. We have a meeting for two reasons. One, either gather information or to disseminate it. I'm not a good speaker, so I don't want you lounging around, et cetera. I went there 3 minutes, the guy in the front leans back and puts his feet up on the little stage which I was on. And I said to him, I didn't know who it was. Turned out to be Chuck Alonzo, an All-American center or something. I said, how long have you been playing football, son? He said, 8 years. I said, if you want to play one more game, you're going to get your feet up. You're going to put them on the floor. You're going to sit up. And pretty soon, I didn't realize then, but they got everybody's attention. It's not about discipline in what you do to somebody. It's what you do for somebody. And I just believed in our plan so strongly that you have to be unselfish, subjugate your welfare for the welfare of the team, and you must understand your role and you must accept your role. That everybody's role is important so we could achieve our overall goal, which was to win and graduate. Now, your role is to cover kickoffs. Well, I don't want to cover kickoffs. I want to run the ball. I understand that. But let me tell you something, son. That's not your role. Your role is to cover kickoffs. I expect you to do it the very best of your ability so we can achieve our overall goal. Our goal is more important than your role.
Lou, we only have a minute before we have to break here, but one of the things that I was always struck with any time I went to Notre Dame, either to cover a game, broadcast a game, or even to originate Sports Byline, was that when we had a player show up, they were always there 20 minutes early. They were always versed in how to conduct themselves. And I always thought that Notre Dame developed the person as well as the athlete, and I thought that was very unique in college sports.
Oh, it definitely is, and that's because of the discipline in the dorm and things like that. And we believe very strongly in being on time. If you show up 2 minutes late and there's 70 players there, you're wasting 140 minutes of people's time, and that's not your priority. Your priority is to be there on time and make sure that we start the meetings, et cetera. And when we got on the bus, they were always there 5 minutes early. They were always 5 minutes early into a meeting, et cetera. But that's just good common sense. And those things, those characteristics and those traits will help you later in life. I get letters all the time from athletes. I just got one yesterday from Aaron Taylor. He was an All-American, played in the pros. Great young man. But some of the things they remember, you don't even give it a second thought to, but it's just about understanding the obligations, and life's a matter of choices. And choices have ramifications, and wherever you are, good, bad, or indifferent, success or failure, is because of the choices you make. And one of the most important choices you're going to make are the type of people you're going to associate with.
Lou Holtz has joined us here on Sports Byline, now a member of the College Football Hall of Fame, won a national championship with Notre Dame in 1988. We continue with more of you in Sports Byline.